Now on Sunday Extra, we're going to look at something unique in the world, indeed the world's first nationwide UBI, or Universal Basic Income Scheme. Because there's a country that now devotes about 8% of its GDP to regular, unconditional, individual cash payments to all citizens who are resident in the country. And this is happening in the Pacific, about halfway between Australia and Hawaii, in the Republic of the Marshall Islands, a nation of over 1,200 islands and a population of around 40,000 people. The Marshall Islands UBI scheme, known as ENRA, started in November of 2025, and the Finance Minister of the Marshall Islands, the Honourable David Paul, addressed the Pacific Islands Forum Economic Ministers meeting this week on how the scheme's going so far, and I'm very pleased to say that Minister Paul joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Minister Paul.
Thank you for having me, and a very good morning to you and to our listeners.
Minister, to help us understand how the UBI scheme works, I wonder if you could describe who it's paid to and how much they get.
Well, UBI, the Universal Basic Income, is specifically a program designed to help everyone in the Marshalls who are citizen residents. And the program was designed to help two things. One is to help people cope with the ever-increasing cost of living, especially in an island setting like ours. So let me give you an example. The reason why we're helping with this increase in cost of living is because, number one, the crisis, the impending crisis in the Middle East continues to persist. So in normal time, the inflation rate in the Marshalls is probably around 5.7% annually. Now, with this impending crisis, inflation shot up to about 9%. Everything that we consume here is important, including water. So it shows that how vulnerable the communities are to the fluctuation in the price of commodity globally. So that was one reason that we wanted to institute this program, which probably give about $200 per person per quarter. That's equivalent to about $2 something per day per person. Number one. Number two, we also have to address the out-migration of our people. And the reason why people out-migrate is because, one, you know, sometimes they are not able to cope with the ever-increasing cost of living while wages continue to stagnate because the economy is not that diverse, is not that huge, and the labor force is growing and growing and growing. So those are the kind of things that we grapple with. So that's why we wanted to institute this Universal Basic Income, so we could be able to address these issues.
So $200 per quarter, and you said per person. So just to clarify, is residency and citizenship the only qualification? Does this get paid to babies and very old people and to everyone in the family, no matter what?
Yep. Everybody gets it.
And how does $800 per year compare to, say, the average income per year in the Marshall Islands?
Well, minimum wage is now $4.50, and it's going to go up to $5 on October 1st this year, and then $5.25 next year. So that's kind of your benchmark.
And let's talk about how the UBI has been received in the Marshall Islands. Literally, how are these payments actually made to people, Minister?
Well, the payments are made via two manner. One is checks, and two, direct deposit into people's bank account. Now, the third one that we implemented just recently is the digital wallet through what we call LOMAL, USDM1, which is a digital sovereign bond. So basically, the digital wallet facilitates the disbursement because then you don't have to worry about, you know, going to the bank. You don't have to go and pick up your check. It comes directly into your wallet on your smartphone. As long as you have a high-speed internet access to your phone, then you should be able to do it. Now, we kind of piloted it in the second quarter disbursement. And on the third quarter disbursement, we kind of put a hold on it for now. So there are a few regulatory clarification we need to do with the U.S. Treasury. But all in all, that is the plan going forward, that we'll try to resolve some of these regulatory uncertainties and clarification with the U.S. before we can resume it. But I mean, right now is widely adopted. Everybody's excited about it. And even the vendors are accepting it. We're now integrated the Bank of Guam, which is a U.S. Federal Reserve regulated bank, and FDIC insured banks. Now they've actually integrate and they now can transact without any cost or friction.
Yeah, so the cryptocurrency element of the UBI scheme is another really novel aspect of it. You said it was widely accepted. How many people have taken up the option? And before you pause the payments, how many people accepted payments that way?
Now, I can say that there are over 1,200 people have already signed up to the Lomalo wallet. Number one. Number two, we are seeing an exponentially increased number of people now signing up and downloading the app and adopting it. So I can say that with absolute certainty that 1,200 is the number, because that was the last number I saw with the data. But, you know, things are changing in real time.
And you mentioned that the payments through Lomalo have been paused, I think you said, due to regulatory and integration type issues. What are those issues, and does this relationship with the Bank of Guam partially or fully address them?
That will be up to our counterpart at the United States Department of Treasury, because this is a new concept. And, you know, our regulators are always taking the time to make sure that, you know, everything is in compliance, which we know is already in compliance, because Bank of Guam was really heavily regulated by U.S. Federal Reserve and so forth, and all the regulators in the United States, they would not have accepted this in the first place.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Finance Minister of the Marshall Islands, the Honourable David Paul. Minister, as a UBI scheme, do you see it as a model that could be rolled out either in other nations in the Pacific or even more broadly around the world?
I think that is going to be the case. And the reason why I don't doubt it is because if you look at what's happening globally, there's so much advancement when it comes to artificial intelligence. And without artificial intelligence, it's going to really increase efficiencies in business and services. And what will happen is there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be out of jobs. And therefore, it's going to put a lot of pressures on governments across the world to come up with something that will have to keep society functioning. And I believe that is going to be something similar to a universal basic income.
Minister, how is the ENRA scheme in the Marshall Islands, the universal basic income scheme, actually funded?
Well, it's actually funded by the proceeds from the sovereign wealth fund, or we call it the trust fund. And this trust fund capitalized and went into the investment, growing and accumulating value over a 20-year period from 2003 to 2023. So from the proceeds, it allows us to take up to 4% of the average of the last 3 years audited balance of the fund.
Right. So I suppose in terms of the ongoing nature of the scheme, it is dependent on the good ongoing performance of the trust fund.
Yeah, and the distribution program is designed to be sustainable, because let's say for the sake of argument, this year's return for the entire fund is probably 11-12% return. But we are only taking out 4%, basically. So the rest, it goes back and reinvested and grow. Because if there's going to be a downturn year where you only yield about 5% or 4%, you still take out 4% because it's covered by the prior years or the future years. Because if you look at the performance of the fund for the last 20 years, it was around 7% average.
As you said, Minister, this scheme has rolled out at a time when, due to external, international factors, there are really severe economic pressures on the Marshall Islands. Indeed, the government declared a state of economic emergency on the 26th of March this year. And the World Bank has provided additional funding in response to that emergency. I wonder, how do international funding institutions, how have they reacted to the Marshall Islands implementation of a universal basic income scheme?
Well, you know, like any other new proposition or concept, you know, they are always have had reservations, and that was widely expected. Their reservation was based on the issue of inflationary effect. So we had to strike the balance where we would design the disbursement of this program. Rather than doing just a one-time payment, we do it on a quarterly basis at a time when there is no significant supply of money in the market. So that was one of the reasons why these financial institutions globally, they were kind of skeptical. Now, we've done first, second, and third quarter disbursement.
Yes, I was going to ask you, what's the indication? Is there an indication of an inflationary effect yet?
Zero or very minimal. And we were able to deal with that by proving it with the data and the market assessment. And we go to all the stores around the island to find out if there was any, increase in prices. Of course, prices are increasing not because of oversupply of money in the market. It's because of the energy crisis globally, because our price of gasoline went up, price of electricity went up, price of transportation went up, and all attributed to the increase in price of fuel globally.
Well, it's been fascinating speaking about the world first universal basic income scheme with you this morning. Minister David Paul, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's the Honourable David Paul, Minister of Finance, Banking and Postal Services in the Republic of the Marshall Islands, the world's first nation to implement a universal basic income scheme.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.